Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here again, and thank you, Tim, for inviting me. This morning, I want to give you a bit of an update on the bridge. And as you were talking about symbols, I thought the bridge is a symbol as well. It's a symbol of being the hands and feet of Jesus, serving the least of these, which we're all called to do. And I know that many of you do that in lots of different ways. Then we're going to continue on with the Advent series that you've been going through and focusing on why Jesus has come into the world to redeem us and bringing us peace. Amen? That's great news. Now, you have to know that I get a little bit excited about great news, and I'm going to want you to be excited with me, okay? You're okay to talk back to me. I like that. That's what we do at home. So this is an extension of home, right? Tim has given me a verse to start with, but before that, if you would just stand with me and pray, that would be great. So, Father, what great joy it is that we can gather together in your name and know, because your word says so, that you are here with us. And so we acknowledge your presence here, Lord. We acknowledge you here, Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I submit myself to you and pray that you would be in my speaking, that you would help me to share what you would have me share, make me blind to the words on the page if that's not what I should speak in the moment, and unction me in my spirit as to what I should speak. I pray your blessing on this congregation, Lord. I thank you that because I have the power and the authority of Jesus within me, I can speak blessing, and there is power in that because you are powerful, Jesus. So thank you for this day. Open our ears to hear, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to look at the scripture found in 1 John to start out with, and if you want, you can follow along. This is one of my favorite books in the New Testament, and that's because it tells us that God is love. So, you know, we often talk about God's love, and we know that the scripture says that he is love, but sometimes we might forget that he is love. That's who he is. He is love. And he loves unconditionally. So we're going to start by reading verse 4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. In verse 5, but you know that he, Jesus, appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And so I love the way that the word confirms what we know, and what we know is confirmed in the word. We know that all sin, praise God, has been paid for, and we now live under grace, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We know that Jesus is alive, and this is made clear in this scripture that is written in the present tense. It says, and in him there is no sin. It doesn't say in him there was no sin. We know that if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that through that we have acknowledged he paid for our sin. So you know that Jesus, God's own sinless Son, died to pay a price that we couldn't pay for our redemption. Through the Gospels, we know that Jesus appeared to take away all our sins. I think it's interesting in this scripture that the word used is appeared. We are not just told about what Jesus could do, but he appeared. Father God could have come up with lots of different ways, but no, Jesus actually appeared in visible form and became man to take away our sins upon himself, humbling himself as a baby, born to a teenage girl with a reputation. Remember, she was pregnant before she even was married. The family God chose to bring his son into didn't have an easy life. Look at their first year of marriage. It was not the honeymoon season that they might have hoped for. not exactly an easy, blissful time of getting to know each other. They had to travel 65 miles or so when Mary was very pregnant, on foot and on a donkey. Not even one comfort a birthing mother might need. No birthing table. In fact, not even a bed. When Mary said yes to being the Lord's servant, receiving what the angel of the Lord told her, she received that she was highly favored, probably couldn't even understand why, and that she would give birth to God's own son who would be great and reign over a kingdom that would never end. Wow. In that moment, it might have been somewhat easy to say yes, but I'm sure still very fearful and a place of not understanding. 9 months later, she found herself placing her son, the Son of God, in a feeding trough and becoming a sign of the man-savior's life on earth. I'm sure that was not what she envisioned. I think it's interesting that Jesus was placed in a feeding trough. We often say manger, but if we look into the Greek there, and the understanding is it was a trough. Jesus is the bread of life. You eat from a trough. Well, we don't. We eat from a plate. You get the gist. We all know the incredible supernatural story. God, right from the beginning, didn't start with a plot that we could make sense of in our own understanding. It required then and still requires now faith to believe. But why would he appear? What was God's motivation for him to appear? Why would the God who is love send his only sinless son for you and me? There are many reasons. The first one that generally comes to a believer's mind is that he came to pay the price for my sin. And that's true. Scripture tells us that it destroyed the devil's work and it set us free from the devil's control. That's good news. He appeared to redeem us and to bring us back into right relationship with him. All because he is love. God is love, and his love is for everyone. I praise him for that. Many years I didn't believe that God could love someone like me. But he is love, and he does love me, and he did love me. His love is for everyone. His love for us was the motivation to send his son to make a way for us to be reconciled back to him. In John 3, Jesus tells us, just like Moses lifted up the pole with the snake on it for all the people to see and be healed, Jesus came ready to appear and be lifted up on the cross so that we could have a choice to receive him as our Savior, as our rescuer. When we do that, we are accepting the fact that he has paid the debt of our sin. You know, as believers, we often quote the most memorized scripture for every believer. Do you know what that is? Absolutely. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, will never die, but have eternal life. He so loved the world. This is redemption. Jesus gave his life so that we could have life to enter into the kingdom of God. That means he has made a way for us to walk and to talk with him, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden. Do we believe that? That's his desire, that we would have such a relationship, such an intimacy, such a friendship with him, that we would walk like Adam and Eve did in the garden with him, hand in hand, talking about the weather and the birds and the. How glorious. That's his desire. This is the great love of our Father. He so loved the world. This world here isn't just talking about our environment. It includes its inhabitants. That means his love for you and for me. In John 3:16, the word world is used as a figure of speech to include us, those that he created, us who he created in his image. The motivation behind the truth of John 3:16 is because of his love and longing for us to be in relationship with him. God the Father loves us. God the Father loves us. You and me, as much as he loved Jesus, who was totally sinless. Hard to believe, isn't it? He loves you and I as much as he loved his sinless son, Jesus. That tells me that sin is not the first thing on his mind. Everything is motivated out of love, not out of what we do wrong. True, sin broke down the relationship between God and man. But we have been redeemed, saved, rescued. Jesus has paid the price for the debt of our sin. Redemption is the action of regaining possession of something or someone in exchange for payment or clearing a debt. The action of buying one's freedom, our freedom. If we back up in 1 John 3, it tells us that because of the depth of our Father's incredible love, the extravagant, luxurious, generous love, he has lavished on us through the sacrifice of his Son. We are permitted to be named and called children of God. He has called us and made a way through Jesus to be his, for us to be his very own. The Creator of all, Almighty God, calls us to be his beloved children. Sometimes the older we get, the harder it is, or the more we think we know, the harder it is to maybe come as a little child. His love and his desire is that we would be one with him as he purposed from the very beginning. This passionate love for us is displayed in Jesus appearing to take away our sins. When we accept this incredible gift, his provision for us by grace, and believe by faith, we are born again and become his children. Many of you here have children or grandchildren. I have both. But as I was thinking about this, I was thinking it was a lot harder as a mother than it is for a grandmother to appreciate the faith a child has in her parents and grandparents. Children are a great example of how the Lord loves us unconditionally. My granddaughter comes running up to me every time I see her, and she's happy to see me. She's not worried about what she did. She delights in who she is, my granddaughter. And our Father God wants us to delight in who we are, his children. In Matthew 18:3, Jesus tells us to learn this. Unless you repent and dramatically change your way of thinking and become teachable and learn about heaven's kingdom realm with the wide-eyed wonder of a child, you will never be able to enter in. Unless we become like little children, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. I believe we, the church, are more aware or more focused on sin. We're more sin-conscious of our own sin and others' sin, then we are aware or focused on his love. Am I right? Maybe this is just for me. I don't think so. Please don't hear me say that I don't believe that if we sin, or that if we have sin in our life, we shouldn't deal with it. We do need to repent. But often I hear redeemed brothers and sisters who are fearful of something that has already been dealt with. In fact, long-time believers will say, I'm not really sure if I'm going to heaven. I hope I make it in. Oh, my goodness. That isn't what the Word says. That isn't what the Word says. In that place, we're focused on trying to be good enough, struggling with sin in our lives, or focused and fretting over the sin in someone else's life, trying to fix them. You know, when that happens, it gets in the way of God's abundant love for us. Fearful we don't qualify. I heard it spoken this morning that we are qualified. So we can't be fearful that we're not qualified, forgetting that the blood of Christ has qualified. He's qualified us. I can't do anything to qualify myself. For 44 years before coming to the Lord, that's what I tried to do. I tried to be good enough. It didn't work. It didn't work. Giving in to the sin of disbelief that Jesus' blood has paid the price and that we belong to God, we are His sons and daughters. If we don't believe that, if we don't live that, if we don't walk that out, we're living in disbelief. And disbelief is sin. When we expose what we're fearful of, it loses its power. John 3:17 says, God did not send His Son into the world to judge and condemn the world. That means He didn't send His Son here to condemn me or you, but to be its Savior and rescue us. Yes, living a sinful life cuts us off. The wages of sin are death. But we have been rescued by His blood. We are saved. You know, in this place, I was remembering a mighty woman of God who was my best friend a number of years ago. She still isn't my best friend, but she's now with the Lord. And she used to say to me this. I used to tell her, oh, I am so wicked, 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 whenever I realized that I had done something that wasn't according to the will of God. And she would say, oh, Linda, it's a short trip to the cross. Deal with it. And then get over it. And then embrace the love of God. It's a short trip to the cross. When we recognize sin, we ask for forgiveness, call sin what God calls sin, and we are forgiven. That's the truth. I love the words from this song from the album, The Story. The song is called Mary. And if you have a chance, look it up and listen to it. It's beautiful. The line is, all this time we waited for the promise. We have the promise. We have the promise. When we come to Christ, we have received the promise of redemption. The line goes like this, all this time we waited for the promise. All this time you've waited for my arms. Jesus wants us to embrace Him. Father God wants us to jump up on His knee and allow Him to hold us and to speak to us, to encourage us, to empower us by His Spirit. Are we living in the truth? We are children of God. But do we really believe that we can have the intimacy and conversation with our Father? Or is there something that holds us back? If there's something that holds us back, if you realize what that is and you hold it out to the Lord, He will exchange it for the truth. You know, my granddaughter tells me that she believes that there is a Santa Claus. And no matter how many times and ways I tell her that that's just not true, she refuses to believe me. And so recently we went to the Festival of Trees, and guess who showed up in his ho, ho, ho? She quickly asked her parents, not me, she quickly asked her parents, could she go see Santa, Santa, to which they said yes, of course. She insisted that we all, including me, get up on the sleigh. And when Santa asked her what she wanted for Christmas, she became shy. And prompted by her parents to ask what she wanted, she said that she wanted a reindeer. Santa was a bit baffled. I don't know as he'd ever been asked for a reindeer before, and he didn't quite know how to respond because he knew full well that her parents couldn't provide a reindeer, and probably even if they could, they wouldn't. Her parents had a bit of a disappointed look on their faces because they didn't receive even a hint of what might delight her heart that they could get for her for Christmas. I was really thankful for her response, and as we walked away, knowing that she was never going to see that gift from Santa unless God himself provided it, that there would be no reindeer living in her backyard. And as we walked, I asked her what she thought of the elf that was helping Santa. She looked at me with a kind of a confused look on my face like I didn't know anything. And she said, "Oh, Grandma, that wasn't an elf. That was just a girl in an elf's costume." When I told her that the man was not Santa, but just a man in a costume, she said, "No, Grandma, that was Santa." Why would that be? I know that she knows full well that that was a man in a costume. And yet, she refused to receive the truth. And that was because there is a benefit to not receiving the truth. You see, the benefit is you can ask Santa for something and he will magically, so to speak, provide and put that present under the tree and it will say, "From Santa." So what is it that keeps us focused on our sin that Jesus came and has paid for, instead of living in the freedom of our Father's love? I pray that any of us in this room who has sin in their life that's hard to get rid of, that might be all of us. There might be something in here that we want to get rid of, but we just can't. I pray today that the Holy Spirit would show up and he would shine the light on the lie that we're believing, that there is some benefit to us holding on to that. You know, whatever we give energy to or thought to, we give life to. And so if we have a sin that's continually on our mind and that we're trying so hard to get rid of, we're giving life to that. But if we surrender that and trust Jesus because he's paid the price for it, and we embrace the love of God, we give life to that. If we give attention to our Father and his love for us and our love for him, this is what we will give life to. And this is where our joy comes from, not from our circumstances. I'm here to tell you that I've got lots of circumstances that I wish I didn't have. But I have joy deep down in my soul because that comes from the Lord, the joy of my salvation. When we believe in Jesus, the Holy One anoints us with the capacity to know the truth. But our relationship with our Father is somewhat like a dance. He takes a step and we follow with a step. As believers, Jesus is our reality and our truth. The devil is a liar. When we hold the message of life in our heart and in the forefront of our thinking, we will always be living in close relationship, in divine sonship with the Son and with the Father. In Hebrews, we're told to throw off every hindrance and the sin that so easily entangles us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You know, there was a time in my early Christian walk that I really didn't like the Christmas season. And that was because I would get angry and resentful toward different people who would come out of the woodwork, so to speak, and all of a sudden, they were celebrating Christmas. And I thought, what are you celebrating Christmas for? You don't even believe in Jesus. You don't even know the real reason for the season. Here they were celebrating the spirit of Christmas, but not recognizing the reason we have the spirit of Christmas. I realized that the Holy Spirit, I then was convicted and I asked for forgiveness. Then I realized that the Holy Spirit was using the spirit of Christmas to expose and reveal the well-being inside, the hope, the peace, the joy, the love people feel when they choose to love and to be kind, to give to the poor, to make time for relatives that they don't make time for all year long. Whether they're believers or not, they're still created in the image of God. And when we exercise the attributes of who He is, we affirm who we are created to be, the character of God's children. Sometimes without even knowing it. He actually meets us in that place where we're at, and He gets us to where He wants us to be. God is love, and he unconditionally loves all people. At the bridge, the mandate of the Lord is built, the mandate that the Lord has built this ministry on is to meet the people where they're at, to accept them as they are, and to share the unconditional love of Jesus with everyone. And so for 20 years, I've been able to participate in that. And we do our best that we can with the help and the power of the Holy Spirit. At the bridge, we get to love those who are unlovable. We get to love those who hate us. We get to express the truth in us through our actions. 1 John 3:18 says, a life demonstrated through loving deeds. We get to love one another. We have a wonderful team at the bridge and we love one another. We get to self-sacrifice, facilitating the God-given gifts in each of us in order for us to be all that God has called us to be. We get to embrace the truth and follow Christ and lay down our lives serving Him as we serve the least of these. It's then Jesus that's lifted up. And because of that, others are drawn on to Him. That's what the Word says. This would be impossible if we didn't have a personal, intimate relationship with God our Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three distinct personalities and yet one. This takes the faith of a child. It is so encouraging to see our neighborhood is changing. More and more people are taking ownership of their faith and the community that has been built at the bridge. I pray that as I share these things that we get to do at the bridge, that you would inquire of the Lord where you get to. And in the places where you already are, and I know there are places that you already get to do some of these things, that you would embrace the joy of the Lord in that place. And that you would continue to draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you, and He'll give you whatever you need to take the next step. Tim asked me that I would give a little bit of an update of the ministry here. This is what we get to do. Is to be part of. And so I don't have time to get into all of the things that are going on at the bridge, which are many, but I have asked that you would be given something with the bulletin, and if you look at that, you will see a highlight of some of the things. That's okay. I'm trying to rush to get finished in half an hour, sorry. After looking at what you've been given, if you have any questions, I'm going to hang around here for a little bit later, and I'm happy to answer them for you. You know, I just want to be really honest with you. I have been honest so far, but I'm going to be even more honest now. This isn't written. Sometimes when I share about what we get to do at the Bridge, I actually think that maybe it sounds proud, because I can't believe that the Lord would entrust such a privilege to me, that he would entrust me to be the hands and feet of founding the Bridge. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me. Sometimes I think maybe that's kind of how Mary felt. Not that I think I'm anywhere near Mary, but he put a thought and provided, and as we take a step of faith, he unfolds that. I believe that you are a body of believers in this house that desire to see the will of God in and through your lives individually and as the church. And all the churches in Saskatoon are part of his body. He is the head and we are the body. This body has the head Jesus, and then you have different parts of the body represented in this house. But in the bigger sense of the word, in Saskatoon per se, we have many churches. Every church is part of the body with Christ as the head. And so my prayer is that you as a body would have the revelation, if you don't already, of what part of the body in Saskatoon do you represent. And that part, you would be fueled by the power and the revelation of Christ through his Spirit, and you would walk that out. And that's really how we operate at the Bridge. We know what we're called to. We know what we are in the city. And I believe that the Lord is going to expand that beyond the city. And he wants to do that for you as a body as well. And so you might look around and there's not that many of you here. You have lots of empty seats, right? Don't be discouraged by that. Don't be discouraged by that. Remember, the Lord started the Bridge with me, who knew nothing. I was 16 months old in the Lord. I don't have the training or the worldly qualifications to stand here and speak to you. But he's the one who positions. He's the one that enables. He's the one that qualifies. And so if I go away with doing nothing else today but this, that you know that God is love, that you know that you have an opportunity to be one with him through a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, that you're filled then by the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish all you were created to accomplish. And what joy that brings! That is the perfect place to live. It is amazing to do and know that you're doing exactly what God has called you to do. And it might be a mother. It might be to be a great grandmother. It might be to be the best provider. It might be to make lots of money so that you can equip and enable the body of Christ to do many things for the kingdom. It might be to be a pastor like Pastor John here. Or it might be to be someone like me. I don't even know what to call myself. But I know that I'm a daughter of the King, and I know that I'm his favorite. Did you know that? I am. I'm highly, highly favored. I could tell you many, many miracles that the Lord has done in my life, and I know that I am highly favored. But the good news is every single one of us can be his favorite if we choose to. If we choose to be. That means we believe, right? Thank you, Lord. Some practical needs at the Bridge is that we always are in need of prayer, and we have a monthly e-letter that goes out to people who want to pray for us, and if that's something that you might be unctioned to do, all you have to do is call the Bridge number on your piece of paper that you have there and speak to Pat, and he'd be happy to do that. Finances. Finances are always a need. I was looking at your bulletin, and I see that you have a big goal for December. We have a big goal for December, too. Your goal is $300,000+, and our goal is $300,000. So not much different. Why are we asking for $300,000? because right now our expense account, we don't operate on a budget, we operate on expenses, because the Lord provides for us as we go along for whatever it is that he calls us to do. So our expenses of last year were $600,000+, and to date, for next year, we're anticipating our expenses as they are will be $600,000. We have $300,000 that's committed that will come in month after month, and we have $300,000 that's not committed. And so we want to have our expense account covered at the beginning of the year so that we can go forward with the explosion of vision that the Lord has given us. Last time I was here, I believe we were still in the renovation stage of the building. We're now completely finished, a $2.6 million building, totally and completely paid for by the Lord, not the government, not by big corporations, by individuals. $2.6 million totally paid for, with the exception of $200,000. That's amazing. That is amazing, especially in this season of a downhill turn in our economy. That's a miracle. Praise the Lord. Another thing is volunteers. Last year we had 12,000 hours of recorded volunteer help, and this year in 2019 we anticipate the need for even more. So we're always looking for volunteers in many capacities. We serve approximately 300 meals a day, so you can imagine that that takes a lot of hands. But more important than feeding physical food, we are very intentional in feeding spiritual food. I have said and will continue to say that we can give a good meal, and that's good. But the only benefit out of it is that it will only last until the next hunger pang. Jesus is the bread of life for eternal life, and so we focus on that. There are many new ministry opportunities being offered to our community: classes in addiction and recovery, exploring Christianity, seven steps to freedom. We now have a sewing room that's up and working, operating, a sewing and craft room, a woodworking room that will start in January, and the list goes on. So I invite every single one of you to come and have a tour. Just come and see what the Lord is doing. It's very exciting. And I want to thank you for having me here today. Thank you for allowing me to go a little bit over. Thank you for listening. I pray that you would be encouraged. I pray that you would take a step of faith and come a little bit closer to Jesus. And every day when I do that, every day I have to choose to come a little bit closer. And every day that I do that, he welcomes me with open arms. And it's in that quiet place of being a human being, not being a human doing, right? It's good to do good things for the Lord, but we can't do anything of value if we're not intimate and have that connection with him. It's there that he whispers to us and we hear him. And so today, I would pray that you would always walk in the peace and the joy and the hope, and especially in the love of who God is in you. Amen? So bless you in the name of Jesus. Thank you.